This is the Podium Finish Live from Austin, Texas, and various points across the country. Here's your host, Rob Tiansen.
And a good day to everyone out there listening to us on your preferred podcasting platform. This is the Podium Finish Live, or TPF Live, and I'm your host, Rob Tiansen. Joined alongside, as always, Nathan Solomon. We're so happy you could join us for episode 71 of the World's Fastest Hour of Racing Talk as we look back at the action at North Wilkesboro Speedway. Yes, I did say North Wilkesboro Speedway. It's not a fanfic or some concocted dream I'm talking about. The Charter Short Track is what we're going to talk about first, and then we're going to look ahead to the weekend ahead at Charlotte and Indianapolis. It's the greatest weekend in motorsports, as a lot of folks would call it, because, of course, it's the Monaco Grand Prix for Formula One in Monaco. Then, of course, the Indianapolis 500 in Indianapolis. And then it's capped off by the Coca-Cola 600, the longest NASCAR race of the season, in stock car capital town of Charlotte, or really Concord, North Carolina. So much to get to. While we won't talk about the F1 race per se, we will do a bit of Indianapolis 500 talk because, of course, our team of Luis Torres, Stephen Conley, and Wayne Regal have been doing a splendid job over in Speedway, Indiana. So we want to make sure we kind of talk a bit about what's going to happen in the greatest spectacle in racing. And then, of course, look ahead to the Coca-Cola 600, the longest NASCAR race of the year, and still one of the crown jewels of the NASCAR Cup Series season. So with that in mind, where Nathan and I will talk about those. And of course, when you are done hearing us talk about all those topics, of course, you would love to hear us have some hot seat guests. And this week, we have double the pleasure, if you will, because we've got NHRA Pro Stock Racer Cammy Caruso of KB Titan, who will be joining us. She's been having a fantastic season. In fact, she won the Pro Stock race at Arizona, and she had a great weekend at Chicagoland last weekend, and she's racing again this weekend. So we want to make sure we get Cammy on. And then we have a really splendid driver joining us as well, and Jeffrey Earnhardt of Alpha Prime Racing in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. So a little bit of everything in terms of fast-paced action. So speaking of fast-paced action, why don't we go and corral Nathan right on the show right now? And Nathan, as of this recording, we just have a few more days ahead of us before the greatest weekend of racing. So how are you doing? And are you looking forward to these busy days ahead for TPF in the motorsports community?
Yes, doing well. Definitely a lot going on with all the different series going on. The big races for all three major series, of course. Like you said, NASCAR, IndyCar, and then F1. I know I'm not as familiar with F1, but apparently that's a big race too over in, what are they, in Monaco, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely a lot going on, which will mean a lot of content on TPF.
Lots of content, and that means there's going to be a lot of articles for you folks to check out. And on social media, our team is hard at work to make sure that you get to know those great stories and updates from the racetrack. So I want to give a shout out, of course, to Logan Skeeden on his fantastic job with upping the social media game, if you will. So if you've noticed those different graphic designs on our stories and posts on Instagram, giving a shout out right now to Logan. So great job on that, and expect some special surprises this coming weekend as far as that's concerned and moving forward, of course, for TPF. Now, before we get into the meats and potatoes of our show, let's go hear from our sponsor, SpoilerDieCast.com, right now. Hey, racing fans, are you in the hunt for the latest and greatest in diecast cars? Head on over to SpoilerDieCast.com to get the latest offerings in Lionel Racing, NASCAR collectibles, IndyCar collectibles from Greenlight Collectibles, and much more. If you spend $20 or more in-stock or pre-order items, you can save 5% off your order and get free shipping with promo code TPF. So head on over to SpoilerDieCast.com, spend $20 or more, and use promo code TPF to get free shipping and 5% off your order. Evan and his team get those orders out fast in lightning speed fashion. A proud sponsor of TPF Live. And yes, indeed, folks, Lionel has been way ahead of the schedule in terms of delivering their 2023 cars from China. So that means, of course, that Evan and his team are going to be really busy fulfilling those orders and getting those shipped out in a really quick fashion. It's almost faster than Joey Logano's pit stop during the 2014 Ford 400. Yeah, a bit of an obscure reference, but I think Luis Torres would like that joke. But anyways, use promo code TPF to get 5% off and free shipping for orders of $30 or more. And yes, folks, even I use it. It's pretty awesome. With that, folks, before you go shopping, let's go hit the racetrack right now with Podium Perspectives. Yes, folks, again, I'm still incredulous in a good way about the fact that we returned to North Wilkesboro Speedway, that 5/8 of a mile short track in the North Carolina area. Pretty nice drive from Statesville or Concord, Mooresville, basically Metro Charlotte, just up the road. And it was just so awesome to see stock cars alive and well. And of course, the late models taking to that track. Last week, it felt like Daytona Speed Weeks, but on a short track. When all in all, of course, let's talk about the fact that NASCAR is back for the first time since 1996. Pretty awesome stuff because a lot of the team, and Nathan wasn't even around for that race weekend in 1996, but I was. I was only 10 years old, and it was a pretty fantastic time, but a sad time when they made it official that that was going to be the last time we would be there until this year. So with that being said, you know the saying, folks, the more things change, the more they stay the same. So while, of course, Jeff Gordon and Mark Martin and a lot of these legends have long retired, it seems like drivers of their caliber are the ones winning the races today. And the same team seems to be winning races even after 27 years. So if you want to know who won the races at North Wilkesboro, well, it's pretty simple. Kyle Larson. He dominated the truck race. He dominated the NASCAR All-Star race. And I know folks have their different opinions of how the cup race went. I know the truck race seemed to be a really exciting event and a lot of action, of course. Whereas the cup series, we're still encountering some of the much discussed issues with the short track package. But I think when you don't think about those issues, which I'm not saying you should ignore it, but just putting two and two together, that cup racing was back at North Wilkesboro. And if you've been watching NASCAR as long as I have, it was such an amazing sight to see. Now, of course, I want it to be a little better, but Nathan, of course, you have a different perspective being a bit younger and the fact that this was your first real live North Wilkesboro race weekend. So, I mean, what was your overall thoughts about the races at North Wilkesboro? And I know you're a Mr. Xfinity for our outlet. So would you like to see Xfinity race at North Wilkesboro?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously very successful weekend, top to bottom. I spent last Wednesday watching the late model races on Flow. Those are a lot of fun to watch, too, so I certainly don't want to forget about them either. But, yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the on-track product, I mean, for both series, I mean, I think the each major issue in each into the two respective series kind of reared its big ugly head, right? I mean, I think what the truck series had 12 cautions. I mean, that's what truck races are, right? Just a lot of cautions. You can't get a long run. Obviously, Larson was probably in the best truck and probably the best driver in the field. So, obviously, you know, a pretty winning recipe there. And then for the cup race, I mean, I don't know. I hate saying it wasn't a good race because it really was not a good race. I mean, as much as I really hoped it would be a very good race, I mean, again, the environment looked tremendous. I mean, packed house. Everybody that I've seen on social media or, you know, talking online or TV or podcasts, whatever they said, I mean, that the environment was second to none. But the racing was bad. I mean, like there's no sugarcoating. I mean, the racing was not good in the Cup Series, and I think it's the car, not the track. I think the track's fine. I think a lot of people are saying the same thing that even with that worn out surface and that ancient surface, that you can still put on a really good show. I mean, look, passing was pretty much non-existent, and I'm not I'm certainly not discounting Kyle Larson and Bubba Wallace and Tyler Reddick all being able to drive through the field like that, but you know, when they pit on lap 18 of the race, they went to the rear. I mean, having a 20 lap difference in tires at a place like North Wilkesboro is like a second a lap, if not more. So yeah, no wonder they're going to drive right through the field in, you know, 25 laps like what Larson did. And again, that's certainly not discounting his ability as a race car driver, because he's one of the best race car drivers in the world. But when you have a tire advantage like that, it's, I mean, that's just, that's what's going to happen. And then in the entire second stage, or I guess the second half of the race, because there wasn't stages, everybody was on the same tires, the exact same tire wear, and we saw zero passing. I mean, the top three at lap 100 was exactly the same at lap 200. Like, I mean, there's no passing. And if Larson and Wallace and Reddick didn't pit, or conversely, if everybody pitted and everybody was essentially on the same tire strategy the entire race, I don't know if they'd be able to make it through the field. Like, I mean, could they maybe gotten into the top 10? Maybe. But the just passing was non-existent. Like, they couldn't go anywhere. Nobody could go anywhere. So I think that they may have been just kind of trapped towards the rear if they weren't on those strategies. So I don't know. I mean, definitely disappointing to see the racing like that. But I think that after this season, NASCAR is going to have a solution with a short track package, or at least a couple different ideas of a solution. It's not going to get fixed this year, I'll tell you that for free. I mean, it's not going to happen this year. We're just going to have to deal with the short track package as is, and then NASCAR is going to have to make some sweeping changes in the off season. Like, I don't know what, like fixing the shifting or making the tire narrower, but there's a couple different ways it could go. Add more horsepower, so we'll just have to see. I don't think it's fair to rule out North Wilkesboro because of this race. I just think that because of the car, that's the reason why the racing wasn't very good. And to what you said at the end, I think if the Xfinity Series was there, I think they would put on a freaking amazing show, because they do no matter where they go. That package is by far the best package of all the three major series. They're so hard to drive, whether it's a super speedway, a short track, an intermediate, a road course, it doesn't matter. They are just so difficult to drive. They're slipping and sliding around, and you see the best drivers in the world, even a Kyle Larson or a William Byron or whoever gets in those Xfinity cars, they have a hard time with it. So, yeah, the Xfinity package always stays superior, and I really wish they're at North Wilkesboro over the weekend.
I think a lot of Xfinity teams felt the same way. They almost felt a little bit left out, knowing that it was the NASCAR, you know, NASCAR's glorious return to NWS. And I would agree with you on that for sure about the cup package. You know, it's not going to be fixed this year. And, you know, we're, you know, 5 months into the season, really. And November is not that long from now. It's kind of impossible for them to come up with a solution to be like, hey, Goodyear, make a softer compound. Or, hey, teams, we're going to jack up the horsepower count. We know we've given you 670. Let's give you 1,000. That's just not going to be doable. So I think as much as NASCAR has tried to limit having different packages for different racetracks because they wanted this next-gen car to be like a one-size-fits-all flex cap situation, it's just not going to happen. And racing is going to have different packages. Why does IndyCar have, you know, a separate package for road courses and speedways? It's because they know that if you have the same package, the show is not going to be great, you know. So it's saying something though, Nathan, when you think about the Xfinity Series and how really they only have two different packages: the super speedway ones, where the car is a little bit, you know, more boxy to, you know, slow them down but still put on a good show. But intermediates, road courses, short tracks, they don't need, you know, like a difference with their cars or chassis. And they put on, like you said, the great, great shows that they do each weekend. So it's an interesting conundrum, if you will, for NASCAR's top series to have this issue. But I'm very interested to see what kind of homework they're going to be doing during the off season, because as I understood it, you know, having the cars the way they've been, it was to encourage new manufacturers or OEMs. But honestly, We haven't had any talks about a different manufacturer coming to NASCAR. So at this point, I think we're going to have to jack up the horsepower count. And maybe, I like the fact that Goodyear is willing to do softer tires because I think in New Hampshire in a couple of months, we're going to see a softer tire compound. I don't know if it's going to save that race per se, because Christopher Bell had some interesting words about that as you shared me a few shows ago. But it's a shame because the intermediate package is so stupendous with this next gen car. But when it comes to the short tracks, which is what NASCAR fans wanted, it's bupkis. It's not good. So I'm glad that you see it that way, that it wasn't the track, it's the car. Because it's the same thing I would be saying 20 years ago about the intermediate tracks, because people were crapping all over Charlotte, Texas, Atlanta, Michigan, California Speedway. They were saying, oh, NASCAR needs to never race at these tracks, only Daytona, Talladega, and the short tracks and road courses. Screw the intermediates. But guess what? With this next gen car, what people are going to talk about Kansas from earlier this month in 2028. People are going to probably talk about Darlington many years from now, or Las Vegas. What an incredible race that was too. I wish I could say Atlanta, but I'm not going to go on a rant about that right now. But yeah, the short track package absolutely needs to be addressed. We're going to talk about that probably quite a bit more, because the next sort of short track race will be Gateway, which will be episode number 72 and three. So, oh boy. Hang on to your seatbelt, folks. One thing I can say though, that's positive, besides the fact that North Wilkesboro returned, excuse me, was the fact that Alex Bowman is going to be back in the number 48 car. And NASCAR did grant him a waiver, which is, good because of the fact that he's only 5 points behind the 16th and final transfer spot for the playoffs. So, obviously, like what happened to Chase Elliott. It's going to be like trying to get those reps again, and the physicality is going to be certainly taking a toll in the longest NASCAR race of the season. But, again, Hendrick Motorsports, they treat the races at Charlotte like basically going to the prom. They're literally down the road from that racetrack. So they're going to take this quite seriously. But Nathan, is this going to be a tough test for Alex to be back in that 48 car? In the 600, and looking at the forecast, knowing that his first laps may just be in the race itself.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to answer that because there's only one person that knows how Alex Bowman's feeling, and that's Alex Bowman. I mean, I don't think that they would clear him if he wasn't 100% or close to 100%. I mean, according to the press release, I think he ran like 100 and something laps yesterday at North Wilkesboro, and he ran them there because I think the rule is like you can't run a NASCAR sanctioned test at a track more than like 4 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks before the event is held there, just so it's not like you're gaining an advantage or whatever. So obviously it makes sense that he ran them there, and that's also a nice advantage of having North Wilkesboro operational, and that's another place nearby that NASCAR can test and not have to like go over the mountains, through the hills, and to the other side of the country. Anyway, I'll digress. But yeah, definitely good to see him back. Most importantly, I mean, glad he's healthy. I'm glad it was a relatively speedy recovery. It happened about a month ago, I think, or 4 weeks ago. So good to see him back. They said like 3 to 4 weeks. So obviously it's right in that window. So yeah, there's, like I said, it's so hard to gauge whether it's gonna be tough for him or not because only he knows how he's feeling. But with that test, I'm sure because he got cleared, he's probably feeling pretty good. I don't think it's really gonna be much more of a challenge than it would be for any 600, Coke 600. But I mean, because that's a beast in itself. That was like a 6 hour race last year, or 5 hours and some change last year. So, gonna be a long race regardless. He's obviously gonna be a little bit less conditioned, let's say, maybe compared to some of the other guys. So he's definitely gonna have to maybe put a little bit more of an emphasis on hydrating and exercising this week. But I'm sure he'll be all right. I mean, he's right now he's 17th in points. He's right in the thick of things. He's certainly not quite in a win-and-you're-in position yet, though all the 100 cars have been wicked fast, and he got off to such a great start this season. I think a win could be pretty inevitable for him. And Chase Elliott, too, another guy also that needs to he really needs to win and get in. But I think I also heard today, and I was watching Race Hub for a little bit, that this is just the fifth time all year that all 400 drivers and all 400 crew chiefs will all be together this year. So that's kind of crazy to think about, because they've had a very eventful first half of the season. But at least for everyone's sake, hopefully everybody stays healthy in that camp and here on out, and we'll see what they can do.
And no penalty reports for Hendrick moving forward either, because that seemed to be the dominant story during the first quarter of 2023. It is interesting because, well, you don't think about how we're more than a quarter of the way into the season, and you've only had a handful of races with the full healthy roster, which is it's kind of a mind-blowing fact that you just gave to us, Nathan. So I'm sure HMS is really glad to have Alex back. We're heading to race number 14, which means there's only 22 more races left in the year. But really, when it comes to the regular season, we're halfway through. So, for Larson and Byron, I think they're going to feel a little bit secure. But Elliott, absolutely, like you said, he has to win a race. He's 28th in points, and he's way behind the cutoff line. It's like another... just doing my math really quickly here. He is a good 120-something points. That's super hard to make up. He'd have to have like a perfect rating in race at the 600 and win. And then another gain of about 30 points each race on everybody ahead of him, which is, it's not going to happen. So if he wins, then that cures all the problems, because it doesn't matter if he's like 25th in points, he's in. But Alex Bowman, in his case, that's where consistency has been a huge factor for that team. Whether it's been Blake Harris or Greg Ives atop the pit box, the number 48 team has been so smooth and so steady. And I'm sure Alex felt pretty pumped up and maybe a little bit motivated to come back too, because seeing Josh Berry have a great run in the Open, winning that race, and then being in the All-Star race and having some of the successes he's had in the 48 car, certainly had to fire him up. So it will be a test. And like with Chase, it's not so much that, he can't do it. Like you said, the physicality, the endurance factors are going to kick in for him. So we'll see what happens, but glad to have Alex back. And I'm sure he'll have a few jokes up his sleeves and when we get to talk to him for the first time later this year for TPF and TPF Live. Now we're going to switch gears here and go to Speedway Indiana and talk a bit about IndyCar racing. Now, I was watching the qualifying session and then I switched over and realized, oh man, the Open's going on. So I caught the tail end of the Open, but I was really intrigued by the last chance qualifier session and the Firestone Fast 12 and Firestone Fast 6 at Indianapolis on Sunday. The drama certainly lived up to its potential. Of course, we had Graham Rahal initially missing the race because his teammate Jack Harvey bumped him out at the very last second. That was such a clutch performance by the Brit to go and best the Dublin, Ohio native from the field. And it looked like history was repeating itself with Graham missing the Indianapolis 500, basically 30 years to the day that his father missed the race, which was a tough moment for sure for that racing family. But then a day later, unfortunately, Stefan Wilson got into a really nasty crash in practice in turn two. And, we're glad he's okay. And we're all hoping for a full speedy recovery for Stefan, and certainly hope to see him back in IndyCar as soon as possible. And certainly in next year's Indy 500 too. When opportunity knocks, though, that means that Graham Rahal got to be tabbed as the emergency driver for the number 24 car. And he is a close friend of Stefan Wilson and in the family. Of course, he was a friend of the late Justin Wilson, so he kept a close connection with them. And it's just, you never really want to see sad stories like this happen, but it's kind of nice to know that if it was going to be someone who could succeed, Wilson in this position, it's someone that's a friend of the family and certainly a really talented IndyCar driver too, and Graham Rahal. So, you know, given the situation, Nathan, you know, how do you think Graham's going to fare in a car that he won't really have a lot of experience in other than his orientation, the installation laps on Friday, of course, in carb day on Friday, and then it's race day on Sunday?
Yeah, obviously, you never want to see anyone get injured. So, you know, glad Stephen Wilson is okay. Obviously, a bummer that he's going to miss the race. You never want to see that, but he's obviously awake, alert, in the hospital, seemingly going to make a full recovery. So that's obviously the most important thing. You know, I didn't watch the qualifying on Sunday. I watched it back on replay, and it seemed like a very, you know, very cool moment with, you know, Harvey, you know, bumping out Rahal. Because, like, I mean, he did it, like, right at the last second, right? Like, it was literally, like, right at the buzzer to make the lap. So one of the most, I guess, spectacular qualifying moments in Indy 500 history, in a sense, kind of got flushed away because Rahal is going to be in the race anyway. But obviously another opportunity for him, and like you mentioned, a family friend to Wilson. So hopefully he'll go out and have a good run in his place. Like I said, you don't never want to see any sort of injury things happen like that. But another opportunity there for Rahal, and we'll see if he can capitalize it, and hopefully we'll see Wilson back in a race car here soon.
Yeah, he's such a treat to watch in an Indy car because of the fact that, you know, certainly he does his best in honor of his late brother Justin, and he's been a respectable driver to his peers, the fans, and certainly respects Indianapolis Motor Speedway's tradition and history. And of course, the opportunity to race in this division. So again, speedy recovery, of course, to Stephen Wilson, and hope to see him back at the world spectacle, greatest spectacle in racing next year. I'm sure he'll love that. And the neat situation about this too is the fact that, you know, Graham Rahal, who's typically a Honda driver, is going to be driving a Chevrolet this weekend. It would be like, you know, if Kyle Larson had to fill in for a Toyota driver. Or Ford driver into, you know, and if he wasn't with Hendrick or something like that. So it's an interesting situation. But again, you know, that's what makes racing so interesting, is that opportunity certainly knocks. And we'll see what happens for sure, because we're going to talk about the Indianapolis 500 and, of course, the NASCAR races at Charlotte, because it's now time to talk about winning time here on TPF Live. So I'll let Nathan go first, of course. So we'll start things off kind of in chronological order with the North Carolina Education 200 truck race on Friday night, and then the ALSCO Uniforms 300 for Xfinity in Charlotte on Saturday, and then the 107th running of the Indianapolis 500 on Sunday, and then, of course, the Cup race, the Coke 600 at Charlotte. So, Nathan, I hope you've had some time to kind of digest and see who you think will win those races. So I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, so no Cup drivers in the truck race here on Friday, because it is the beginning of the Triple Truck Challenge. So for Friday, we'll go with Nick Sanchez. I mean, he's had a lot of speed this year and has been really quick on the intermediates. I know he hasn't really gotten the results he's hoped for. Just some kind of bad luck and bad circumstances have led to some not good finishes at these places where he's been really, really quick. Like, he dominated the Texas race and should have won that, but obviously kind of got wrecked there in the last lap. So we'll go with Nick Sanchez to win his first truck race on Friday night. Saturday in the Xfinity race, we got a couple Cup guys down in that one, including Ty Gibbs. We have got Kyle Busch, but I'm going to go with Kyle Busch. The 10 car's got a couple wins there for Colleg Racing. Obviously, Kyle won earlier in the year. Kyle Busch won earlier in the year. Kyle Larson won 2 weeks ago at Darlington. So that car is riding some momentum. It's one of the quicker cars in the series this year. So we will go with Kyle Busch on Saturday. And then Sunday, we'll stick with the theme. We'll go Kyle Busch to go get a little Xfinity and Cup doubleheader sweep. You know, Kyle won Auto Club earlier in the season. Has been pretty quick on the intermediates. RCR has been really good on the intermediates this year. They've been pretty off on the short tracks, but I think that Kyle will have a really good run on Sunday and be there at the end.
Those are all fantastic picks, to say the least. And if Kyle Busch sweeps the weekend for Xfinity and Cup, then that's bad news for the rest of the competition, at least for those who have not won a race this year, because that's typically bad news when Kyle Busch gets on a roll. And I wouldn't count him out for that, because he's got 2 wins already this season. I'm sure he wants to add another win to add those playoff points and make it a bit of a troublesome situation during the playoffs. Now, I'll go with my picks from Trucks to Cup, and of course, throw in my Indy 500 pick as well. So again, what Nathan said, it's the Triple Truck Challenge. There are no Cup racers for the next 3 weeks. So that's good for the Truck Series, because it's going to be pure talent, the pure regulars in this case. So looking ahead for Friday night's race, you know, obviously Zane Smith seems like an easy favorite, but honestly, they've kind of been in a bit of a struggle bus situation, if you will. And that's kind of puzzling, to say the least. But again, last year they were a little bit off during the mid part of the season, and then they just picked it back up. So I'm going to go with a different pick than yours. I'm going to go with Jay Garcia and the number 35 truck. He's been really impressive this season with the McAnally Hilgeman Racing Chevrolet entry. And honestly, I was very impressed with how he took to Darlington despite the crash. So I look for Garcia to have a great truck race, maybe win his first truck race of the year. I like Nick Sanchez too, but and I'm sure if he wins a race, that's going to be a wild victory lane celebration. And he does have the chance to sweep the Friday races too, because he will run the ARCA race for Rev Racing. Yes, I did throw in an ARCA reference. That's a big time miracle for TPF Live. Now going to the Xfinity race, which again, for the folks who are home like us, we'll get to listen to the drivers doing the telecast. So that's going to be fun. It's always a little bit of a mayhem, chaotic situation in a good way, of course, when you have the drivers in the booth and pit road and studio. But we'll talk about the race picks, of course. Kyle Busch, surprisingly, hasn't won a race yet in the Xfinity series. And I thought he would, because the 10 car does have speed. And certainly, we've seen them win with AJ Allmendinger and Kyle Larson. Colic Racing has been a little bit off on the intermediates, but I'm sure they have done their homework. They have been looking at their tests data from late last year, early this season, when the Xfinity series were testing there to figure out this package for the season. And as much as I'd love to go with them, I'm going to be really boring with my pick and say John Hunter Nemechek for the Xfinity race. As for the Indianapolis 500, you've got 33 great drivers and teams, and any one of them can win it. Catherine Legg with Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan Racing. It could be RC Anderson, could be Santino Ferrucci. But I'm going to go with a local favorite, local in terms of Texas, and say that Arrow McLaren SP's Patricio Pato Award and the number 5 entry is going to win that race. I know he's kind of been a little bit frustrated with the car when, you know, Peacock interviewed him on Monday's practice session, but he's been fast, and I'm sure his team and engineers have been working to massage that car and get it ready for carb day and all. So I think the number 5 Chevrolet in that series is going to be really good and win that race. As far as the Coca-Cola 600, we're kind of doing this with no knowledge of practice and qualifying. And I love to look at that information, because I get to make an accurate pick. And Mother Nature, unfortunately, right now is kind of being a jerk with the forecast. So again, I'm hoping it's wrong and we have practice and qualifying. But traditionally, this has been the house of Hendrick. They take this racetrack and race really, really seriously. And honestly, if it wasn't for Chase Briscoe's spin in turn 2 that led to the first overtime restart, we would be talking about Kyle Larson basically being a 2-time Coca-Cola 600 race winner. But instead, of course, he's a 1-time winner. Would that be the obvious pick? Honestly, yeah, probably. But I'm kind of on a toss-up between Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson for the win on Sunday night or Monday afternoon, hopefully Sunday night. So I'll, of course, be definitive and I'll say Kyle Larson. Yes, that's a really boring pick, but he is excellent on the intermediates. And if we saw anything from the intermediate races at Las Vegas and Kansas, it's that the number five team has the speed. They just need to have that moment without the light race yellow so they can win the race. But we'll see. With that, folks, that's the end of podium perspectives for this week. But what do you think, folks? Do you think that Nathan got his picks right? Did I get them right? Do you have different opinions? Tell us. You can tweet to us at the podium finish or my Twitter at Rob Tiongson or Nathan's at nsolly02. And if we pick your tweet and you make a race-winning pick, I will get you a diecast car from spoilerdiecast.com. So tweet to us, let us know, and we'd love to hear from our fans for sure. And before we get into podium perspectives, yes, again, I am making an urgent plea, of course, for us to get more staff writers. So for our loyal listeners who may be writers and just haven't had a chance to like dabble into the motorsports media industry, or if you know somebody who is a good writer, loves racing, and just hasn't had a chance to showcase their talents and wants to contribute to our website and outlet, contact me at robtiongson@gmail.com. robtiongson@gmail.com, and I'd love to hear from you. Now with that, folks, we're going to head to our double header of the hot seat. For this week, of course, as we always say on our show, ladies first and then gentlemen afterwards. And in my case, I will go first and then Nathan will introduce the Jeffrey Earnhardt segment of Hot Seat. Now, late last month, when the NHRA was on a bit of a break, I got a chance to catch up with Cameron Caruso, who's one of the hot sensations in the NHRA Camping World Series, specifically in the Pro Stock division. As I mentioned before, she won the Arizona Nationals from the Pro Stock division and honestly has been a breakthrough star in her division and in NHRA. So I had the pleasure to catch up and talk to the KB Titan racer to get her thoughts on her career, more about what it's like to race for this juggernaut team in NHRA, and honestly, what she's looking forward to ahead in 2023 and beyond. So with that, let's get to the first half of the hot seat with Cambry Caruso. Today, we've got a great guest for this particular segment because we've got one of the rising stars in the NHRA Camping World Racing Series here. That, of course, would be Cambry Caruso. And she is one of the top pro stock drivers around. In fact, she recently had her first victory last month. So it's quite exciting to have a fresh face here on this segment. And just to introduce you, NASCAR fans, to know that there's other kinds of racing out there. So we're going to try to do a little bit of variety here in 2023. And Cambry, you're the start of that variety. So before we get things started here, how are you doing today?
Good. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm doing great. Can't complain when it's Wednesday as of this recording, but it's always fun to, get ready for the next race.
For sure.
Although you guys have a bit of a break, but we'll talk about all of that here very shortly, just because I have been given different perspectives on this and I'm curious to get yours about this sort of like few weeks off, you're off racing again and all that. So we'll talk about that here. But, for a lot of the readers, I'm going to assume that they have probably watched NHRA because of watching the NASCAR race on FS1 and they just kind of stuck around. And hey, let's just assume they found out about you, which I hope they did. Let's talk about your sophomore season so far. Now, obviously, as I mentioned at the top, you've got that victory in the Arizona Nationals. And by the way, you're fourth in points, which is really outstanding. So how excited are you about the way things have gone so far this year?
This season's been really cool so far. We went into the season with a whole lot of changes, so we were definitely excited and eager to see how this year was going to start out, and it's been off to a really great start.
And would you say, based on your rookie season, which obviously went really well too, I mean, you've joined this powerhouse team. You've got a lot of drivers who have had success in the NHRA. Like, what is it like to have all of these different resources around you as you're, you know, not only just honing your skills, but also evolving as a driver?
Honestly, joining the KB Titan family this year has been awesome. I'm so comfortable in the car. The car runs really great. And being able to have teammates that have been successful and have more experience than me has been really cool to work with and be around.
And it's pretty exciting to know with that KB Titan racing effort, you guys occupy 40% of the top 10 point standings. I don't know if you thought about that, but, you know, does that kind of make you a little bit mind blown knowing that you, Dallas, Greg, and Kyle are off to this terrific start?
It's really awesome because I know how hard the guys work at the shop day in and day out. And I know that they want us to do as best as we possibly can. And they're great drivers and we have a great team. So it's pretty neat to know that we are all doing really great this season. And hopefully we'll continue that on and one of us will get the championship.
I'm sure, of course, no offense to the your guys on the team, but you're like, I wouldn't mind being the champions. Yeah. So correct. I'm sure as hard as it is to try not to think about that, of course, as a driver, how do you kind of channel or balance the sort of, hey, I want to win this. This is on my mind too. I've got to be laser focused. Camry, I got to do what I got to do.
Honestly, you have to go into each race as, okay, I have to do the best I can do and be the best I can be. And the wins and the championships will come if you do the best you can do at each race. So you really just have to focus on each round and each race as you're there. And kind of keep the rest of it out of your mind.
And that's what makes you guys such professional athletes out there. And that's why people like me are just covering the sport, because I know if I were in your shoes, I'd have such a hard time trying to be like, oh my God, this is so tempting. I'm actually in the hunt, not just for Wally's, but I can get myself a championship. So, and I think a lot of that too may be from the fact that you're a third generation racer. Now, as I understand, you know, your grandfather, Papa Joe, raced. Your father, Mark, raced in drag racing. So let me ask you this. When did you realize that when you wanted to be, you know, a drag racer yourself and pursue wins and victories, championships with the NHRA Pro Stock Series?
Honestly, I've always wanted to race full time. It's never really been in question. We weren't really sure which route we would take or when we would take that route, but it's all worked out in the long run. But my dad and my papa had a lot of influence on me wanting to do that, and watching them race as I grew up definitely played a part.
That's pretty cool. I mean, what's some of your earliest memories of seeing them on the track? And were there some moments where you were starstruck by your grandfather and your father's competitors at the quarter mile?
Honestly, I remember my dad driving everything from Pro Mod to Super Street to Top Sportsman and anything in between. He's raced almost every category except the Pro Stock, Top Fuel, and Top Fuel Funny Car and the alcohol classes. So I've watched him race a whole bunch, and just to know that he loves it and it's a family oriented sport and a team, it really makes a difference.
Absolutely. I mean, you guys are among the family members who have continued on in NHRA, not to mention the Force family as well, with John and his daughters racing over the years, like Ashley, Courtney, and currently Brittany right now. So, you know, obviously one of the things that comes to mind for me as a journalist and observer of NHRA racing is that it's one of the few series where I've seen inclusivity succeed. Why is it, or what makes NHRA such a level playing field, regardless if you're a woman or a man who's competing in the series?
Honestly, I say this all the time, and I will continue to say it. The car doesn't know if you're a girl or a guy, and it doesn't care. Like, the race car is a piece of material. The parts in it are just parts. Like, they don't know if you're a girl or a guy, they don't care. So for you to get in the car, and as long as you know what you're supposed to do, you'll be just fine. There's so many drivers in the past, women drivers, that have really made it okay for other girls to be in the sport. And it's not really, I feel like it's not really as surprising anymore. Like, oh, it's a girl. Like, right. Who cares? No. So I think it works out really well nowadays. And the car couldn't care less if you're a girl or a guy. So if you know how to drive your race car and you have partners and you are doing a good job at that, then you'll be just fine.
Absolutely. I mean, I can definitely think growing up, you know, I watched, you know, Shirley Anderson race before, and, you know, the Force Daughters race as well. I may have been old enough to remember Shirley Muldowney as well. So it's just, you know, I've always wondered that, like, NHRA does a great job, you know, with diversity, and NASCAR is finally catching up with that, IndyCar as well. So, you know, it just kind of makes me go, you're kind of leading the way in NHRA. Other racing series, you guys just got to catch up and make sure that we give quality opportunities regardless of what gender, whatever you are. So it's just good to see. And I know for you growing up as a little girl now, you know, you're in your mid-20s, which is still very young, by the way. You know, you're pursuing Wally trophies, and I'm sure that's the goal every weekend. But when you achieve that moment in Arizona Nationals, what did it mean to you personally? And, you know, just adding on to your family's legacy in this sport.
It was awesome. It was really special because a lot of my partners are West Coast based. So it was cool to have all of them there while we won our first one in Pro Stock. And to have my family there was even more special. And Phoenix was actually the first track last year in my first year of Pro Stock that I won around at. So it was all around a really cool event, and we loved it. And hopefully there's a lot more to come.
I'm sure there is. I bet you know, every weekend, like you, I said, you want to win, but I'm sure the big one you're looking at is U.S. Nationals later this year at Indy. So I'm sure you're like, that would be a pretty awesome moment, I would say.
That would be. Honestly, there's so many good tracks and so many good events now on the schedule, such as Dallas and Indy, and there's just so many. Dallas is really cool because of the Stampede of Speed. Texas Motorplex does an amazing job making it such a big event. U.S. Nationals will always be a special event. So there's just a few on this tour that I'm really excited to get to and hopefully win.
For sure. And I know you guys have at least one more four-wide nationals, I think, at Charlotte, the IMAX drag strip. So let me ask you this, because, you know, I know for you it might seem normal, but compared to your traditional, you know, two abreast formation at the drag strip, what is it like when you're alongside three other competitors, whether you're in the first lane, second, third, or fourth? Like, does the stakes, the pressure build up even more for you?
Honestly, like you said, we have one more at ZMAX on the 28th weekend. Honestly, you still have to do your same thing. It's basically just a few more drivers who have to get into the bulb. So you go, you pre-stage like normal. Once everybody's pre-staged, the timer starts for everybody to go into the stage bulbs. So as long as you know where you are on the racetrack and what lights to look at, you're fine. Like, it's really not. Everybody makes it a big deal, but it's not as big of a deal as they make it.
That's what makes you guys such good competitors, and you're just so focused. There could be 10 of you guys out there and you're like, I don't care. I'm racing to win or be P1 on the speed charts. So that's why you're so good at what you're doing right now.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Now, it's been said in the NHRA that every ticket allows fans to be in the garage area to mingle with you and your crew. So, you know, what is it like to interact with these racing fans, especially the children who may come up to you and say, you know, I want to be just like you, Camry?
Honestly, I think it's really special that the NHRA does do things like that. I'm not that familiar with how NASCAR or IndyCar works on that front. But with NHRA, every ticket, you can get into the pits. You can come up and talk to us. You can go up near the starting line. You can go watch the track. Like, you really have full access to anything and everything. The cars are always facing outward, so you can see the engines, you can see all of it. And it's really cool to have, especially the kids. I know kids get in free, so it's cool to see them be able to experience it and come up and meet you and talk to you. You meet so many different fans and so many different people that it just makes it really exciting no matter where we are.
That's great. And I'm sure along the way, have you had a very memorable experience so far in your second year in the series with fans?
I think my favorite memories are when they like come back up from previous years and they're like, oh, hey, we met you here last year. And I'm like, oh, awesome. That's so cool. And they'll bring you like pictures that they took with you. And it's just cool to see that they make it such a point to let us know like, hey, this was important to us. Here's a memory. So they're just such good fans, and we have really loyal fans. So like in Phoenix this year, I had probably 15 to 20 people come up. Hey, I met you last year. Look at this picture we took. Let's take another one. So it's just cool to get to see everybody and for them to remember who we are. Like, that's awesome.
And that's the one way to build memories, build, you know, new fans, because those kids growing up, they may take their parents. I mean, they're not parents, but like their own kids one day. Now, granted, well, both of us will be much older, which I don't want to think about just yet. But, you know, that's just the cool part. Like, you're establishing your legacy just by the interaction with fans. And I think that in itself makes NHRA racing so different from NASCAR, which I'll tell you about offhand afterwards. But it's just so cool that you guys allow that kind of interaction, the intimacy that other sports may not grant to the fans. So that's good on the NHRA side for sure. Now, this is something I've always been curious about. For, you know, with any kind of race car driver, when you talk about what you do for a living to family or friends who are not familiar with your job, which I would hope they are, what would you compare a pro stock driving experience like to something layman experience wise?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not really sure. Like, it's just so fun. There's so much going on in the car. And it's kind of like once you get buckled in and start the engines, like it's just you and the race car, like nothing else matters. It doesn't, nothing else phases you. Like, it's just a really cool experience. There's, you have to shift, you have to use the clutch, like make sure you pull your parachutes, all of that stuff. So it's just really cool. And there's a big adrenaline rush to it. I'm not really sure what I would compare it to though.
Yeah, I mean, based on what you just said, I can't even think of anything that's comparable. I mean, I could go on my treadmill and try to like play a chess match, but that still doesn't sound as intense what you're doing out there. So
yeah, I'm not sure what to compare it to, but it is really awesome. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's challenging. So it's definitely a really exciting opportunity to have.
I would imagine so. And again, that's why you are out there doing what you're doing. And I marvel at what you and your competitors do, because I have a bad enough feeling just going 50 miles an hour. But to go, I don't know, four and a half times that speed, my heart race would be incredibly off those charts. I mean, I don't know if you have one of those like watches or devices that watches your heart rate, but like, how fast does it go when you go that quickly on the track?
So we're actually not allowed to wear any of that while we're in the car. So I have no idea, but we're not allowed to wear any jewelry. So earrings, bracelets, necklaces, and that includes Apple Watches. So I'm not really sure, but I would be interested to know if we were allowed to wear those.
Yeah, just because like,
it's like
I know
a safety thing. Like if it starts on fire or something, they don't want anything to get in the way or stuck to you. So that's just the rules.
That makes sense though. I'm just curious because like NASCAR has finally started to roll that out. I know I've seen it with IndyCar as well. All I can say is you pretty much have to be in good shape to drive one of these pro stocks. You can't just be Midnight Joe sitting on his couch and just get right in and you win a Wally. So
yeah, that's not really how it works. You definitely have to be in shape and you have to have some kind of strength in your legs and your arms for the shifting and the clutch. So it's definitely different, but it's a lot of fun and it's a really great opportunity.
Certainly. Well, maybe one of these days I'll get to at least feel the experience, but I don't know if I want to do it for a living. I mean, that would be a little bit too wild for me, but fun to cover for sure. Now, again, kind of sticking with the theme of, hey, give me a relatable experience. But in terms of the pro stock experience, driving your car, what song best personifies that experience that you go through each weekend?
That's a hard one. I'm so bad at song titles. I don't remember any of them. But the song, I forget the name. I think it's called The Champion by Carrie Underwood. It might not be called that, so don't hold it against me. But like that song kind of talks about how you do it because you love it, and it's not really about, like, obviously we all want to win and we want championships and we want number one qualifiers and all of that, but we do it because we love the sport and we love being around it and we love the fans and all and driving the cars. Like, it's not really for the fame, I guess, is what it's saying. So that's a good song, I guess, to kind of relate, maybe. But also, I'm not sure if that's the name, so don't hold it against me.
Don't worry. I was going to say, I missed your Shazam over here, so I'm not going to penalize you if you got that wrong. So don't worry about it. But I'm, you know what? You got it right. That is the name of the song. Because I just remembered it.
Thank you.
So you're good. See that you should get a Wally for that right there. You're locked into the countdown for doing that for us.
That would be nice.
Right? The easiest way to do it. So I'm not gonna tell your competitors that. That's just for you.
Thank you.
Now, you got it. A couple more questions before I wrap up our segment here. You know, let's say you're me having to write this story about you, the race car driver. And that's kind of a difficult question, but what are three words that you would choose to describe yourself and why?
Oh, goodness. determined, because there's definitely been people out there who are like, oh, no, she won't do good. She won't succeed. She can't do it. But that just makes me want to do it even more and prove everybody wrong. So definitely determined. Hardworking, because I don't mind doing whatever it takes. Like, if the guys need help on the car, then I'll go help them on the car. If I don't mind helping out wherever is needed to make it happen and make sure we do good and make sure that everybody has a good weekend, because if everybody's not on the same page, then we won't do good. So I don't mind helping out wherever I'm needed. And relatable, because I definitely enjoy talking to the fans. I like to know where they came from, why they're there, how long they've been coming. I love the conversation aspect of it and learning about everybody who shows up to the racetrack, because we're out there to promote our sponsors and our partners, and we can't do that if we don't know who our audience is and who our fans are. So I really enjoy that, being relatable to anybody and everybody.
I love those three answers. And of the drivers who've answered this question in the last 3 years, that's the most thorough and most qualified answer. So whoever I interview in the future has some tall shoes to fill on that. So,
well, thank you.
You got it. I love this. This is fun. And we got to do this again sometime soon. For my last one for you, which I kind of hope is a little bit of a brain thinker for you, what advice would you give to your 15-year-old self or your younger self in New York State about chasing your dreams and balancing the trials and tribulations of being in the NHRA?
Honestly, just keep on going and keep your goals high and reach as high as you can, because hard work will pay off and everything is achievable if you just are willing to work for it.
That's some great advice for sure. And I hope your younger self is listening to that if we had a time machine.
Thank you.
But of course it worked out because you're here. So just saying. But did you have anything else you wanted to say to the fans, your fans, and to NHRA fans?
Just honestly, thank you to all my sponsors and my partners and everybody who supported me. Powerbuilt Tools, Tequila Commissario, VP, Vibrant, Wright Trailers, Denso, OZ, Safe Rooms, anybody. I'm sure I forgot somebody. I'm really bad at that. But thank you to anybody who has supported us and helped us along the way. And I, to the fans, just hope to meet you guys soon.
Absolutely. Well, there you have it, folks. That was Cami Caruso here in the hot seat, or should I say in the fast lane, because this is an NHRA style version of this interview. So Cami, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you do come back here quite a few more times. Maybe we'll be talking just before the countdown to the championship. So don't be a stranger here.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me and have a great day.
You as well. Thank you. And that was Cami Caruso here in the hot seat. And I hope you guys enjoyed hearing from her. And certainly if you do want to give her a follow on social media, she is very active, of course, on Twitter. Her Twitter handle, of course, is Cami C. And she is definitely fun to follow for sure. As far as Instagram's concerned, I know she had some concerns about people impersonating her, but her Twitter handle is pretty easy to find. It's Cami_Caruso_motorsports with an S at the end, motorsports. So give her a follow and check out her race, because the NHRA series is really a lot of fun to watch. Lots of incredible action that happens on the quarter mile track strips. And if you need a little bit of a different experience from NASCAR, IndyCar, and all of that, well, NHRA has all of that, to say the least. And they'll be back in action, of course, when they hit up my old hometown turf of New England. So hope to hear from other drivers when they get to race at the New England Nationals in Epping, New Hampshire. With that, folks, I'm going to throw it over to Nathan because he's going to introduce the second half of our hot seat segment, because Jeffrey Earnhardt's getting ready to talk racing with you guys. So Nathan, why don't you tell us about your conversation with Jeffrey?
For sure. So I had the opportunity to catch up with Jeffrey Earnhardt at Dover a couple of weeks ago, kind of talking about just being able to get full time again. You know, that's something he's really not had many opportunities for, just to be a full time race car driver, and he has that this year with Alpha Prime Racing. So just looking at that opportunity and just having this opportunity to race for Tommy Joe Martins and Cesar Baccarella and do so with a great group of people surrounding him. So without further ado, let's get into it. Jeffrey Earnhardt here in part two of today's hot seat.
So just to start, you're full time here for the first time since 2014. Just how does that feel and what does that mean for you?
Yeah, no, it's awesome to be able to come and compete every weekend, and it's tough when you have to set out a few races before you get back in. It's hard to get in the rhythm of things, and getting to come compete for a full season with these guys at Alpha Prime Racing's real exciting. We haven't had the best of the years to get started. We've had some pretty bad luck, but it's still awesome to be a part of what they have going on here, and see this team continue to grow.
Is this something that you ever anticipated would be able to happen again, just being full-time in NASCAR?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you hope. We did the races with Johnny Davis, running most of the season, not the full season, was that 2 years ago, and then decided we wanted to, do less races, but in some stuff a little bit, more competitive at Sam Hunt's, and really enjoyed that. But obviously, the goal to compete every weekend and say that you're racing for points is definitely something that we had hoped as a group, my group JEI, to be able to accomplish. And unfortunately, season started off a little rough for us here, so points ain't looking too pretty, but we're gonna keep fighting and do all we can to turn that around.
You mentioned you've obviously bounced around a lot in your career. When you're in situations like that, whether it's in Xfinity stuff or Cup stuff, how difficult is it to stay focused and just manage everything and just stay dialed in the racing?
Yeah, it's tough. Like I said, it's hard to just bounce. Like when you're in the car, you're out for a month or a couple weeks even, and then you're back in. It's hard to get any kind of rhythm. And driving different stuff for different teams, there's just no consistency in any of that, and it makes it difficult on everybody, not just me, but the teams as well. They're trying to learn drivers, and when they're having to cycle drivers in and out, different drivers, every other weekend, it's tough on a crew chief on a race team as well. So there's definitely challenges with it, which is why we're going to continue to try and keep doing full season deals and grow from here.
What do you learn about yourself in situations like that?
Just not quit. It's like we've been knocked down plenty of times in different situations, and we just keep plugging away. So you can't give up. If you do, you'll never see it through. So we just keep fighting and doing all we can to maintain and continue to be present on race day.
You touched on it a little bit, but last year, did some races with Sam Hunt, did some races with Emerlyn Gase. You finished, had a seventh place run with Sam Hunt, and of course finished second with RCR Talladega. Just how did those two runs in particular help showcase you as a driver again and tell everybody, hey, Jeffrey Earnhardt still has talent here?
Yeah, no, it's definitely good when you have solid runs like that. It doesn't hurt by any means. It just shows that with the right situation you can go and compete up front with those guys, and obviously what Sam and them had going on last year and this year, that's pretty impressive. So But then you look at the Alpha Prime team at the end of the year last year, and they were right there inside the top 15 every weekend as well. So they showed a lot of promise, and you know, I think we've had a little bit of a rough start here getting going, but you know, we're starting to see a little bit of that turnaround and see some improvements. And I feel like the field's obviously stacked a little more stout than it was last year. So you know, it's definitely good when you can go and run in front, though, and show guys that you know you're capable of doing it.
What does it mean to you that Alpha Prime has faith in you to drive the race cars?
Yeah, it means a lot. You know, anytime these guys that own these teams let you come drive their stuff, it says a lot to you know who they are and what they think of you, and you know, and that they believe in you. And you know, these guys were excited that I wanted to come here, and you know. Shoot, Tommy and Caesar talked to me, you know, past couple of years about coming to drive for them, and you know, it just never made sense. And you know, this year, you know, all the lined up to where it made sense. You know, we had the funding and could make it happen, and you know, luckily it all worked out the way it did. But it is cool to know that guys are excited and want you to come drive for them.
I've talked to guys like Raj in the past, and you know, he's expressed how much he enjoys and loves driving for Tommy, Joe, and Caesar. So do you share that same sentiment, and what makes those two guys, you know, just guys that you want to drive for?
Yeah, they're just likable dudes, man. You know, both of them are racers. You know, Tommy Joe drove for his own team until you know, he realized that, you know, there's guys out here that can bring money and fund it where he's not having to do it out of pocket. So, you know, he started realizing how good the business side of this stuff could be too. So it is cool to drive for those guys, you know, hear their experiences and again, like, you know, see them believe in you to come and help grow their program and make everything better. So that's the goal, and that's what we're going to continue to fight to do. And like I said, hopefully we can keep this momentum going and changing around, because as I said, the start of the season wasn't the best.
You know, you have Ryan Ellis as your main teammate, but you have a bunch of other guys that are driving the 45, so how helpful is it just to have, you know, so many different guys in the shop that you can just kind of pick their brains about and mesh with?
Yeah, it's definitely cool to see, you know, what other drivers like and what they do. You know, obviously on the 45, you got guys like Sage. So when Sage Karam, so when we go to these road courses, you know, he's obviously pretty darn good at them. So someone like that to talk to and pick his brain. You know, Ellis, you know, we joke around because we're like the old guys in the group, because we're both 33 years old. And you know, you got all these Leland, who's, I think Leland's like 19, 20 years old, and Raja, same. You know, it's like there's a bunch of kids that run with these guys and make us feel pretty old, but it is cool to see, you know, guys like Raja coming up to the sports, Leland, and see them go out there and be successful and perform and come to you and ask for advice. You know, it's cool to be a part of watching someone else chase their dream as well.
There's a lot of road course on the schedule this year. There's 8, so 7 more. I know you haven't been behind the wheel a whole lot the last couple of years on road courses. So what are you doing just to get ready for some of those road courses again, knowing that there's so many of them?
Yeah, it's pretty wild to see you know, how many road courses we've grown to have in our sport, you know, coming from, you know, just having a handful every year to now, you know, as you said, a bunch. So it is something that we have to take more seriously and you know, hone our skills better, because it's just as tough when we go to those races. You know, these guys are just as good at road course races are they as they are oval track racers. So you know, we definitely got to do what we can there. Obviously, watching old races, you know, iRacing. You know, we don't get all the sim program stuff that some of the bigger teams do, so we have to use all and any resources we have available to try and, you know, better our situation when we go there.
How much potential do you see in a team like this? Obviously, in its second year as the Alpha Prime brand, but what do you see out of this team?
I see a lot of potential. You know, they want to grow. They're hungry. A lot of youth in this team, and then, you know, a handful of older veterans. Frankie Kerr been around forever, and is a big part of the heart of this team and what they're able to produce and put out on the track. But I see a big potential with these guys. They're going to continue to grow. They've shown promise already. Like I said last year, some of the runs they had with Stephen Parsons was pretty impressive. So I foresee this team just continuing to grow and becoming one of the top teams in the sport. And it's not easy. That's something that takes time and lots of money. But I foresee this team being able to accomplish that.
And you personally, what do you hope to accomplish this season?
I just want to see this team, continue to develop and grow. And, who knows, maybe we'll strike gold and get a win somewhere. But, we had initially said we wanted to go make a run to be in the playoffs. And we knew that it would be a difficult task. But, as I said, I feel like this series has definitely gotten pretty stacked this year. Guys have just really really upped their game and improved on what they bring to the track and the alliances and resources that they have available to them. And it's definitely made it harder, but not something that we can't accomplish. And we're going to keep fighting to continue the momentum swing towards the right direction.
And really just last thing, we've seen a lot of teams of this size be able to go out and win races, like Jeremy Clemens Racing or even Jordan Anderson last week. So what would it mean to you to come out here and be able to bring this team a victory?
It'd be awesome, man. Any opportunity you get to bring something like that to a small team is incredible, and it's what it's what we all come here for. We come here to race. We come here to try and win races, and when you actually can accomplish that, it's impressive. You see how excited this team gets when they get a top 10, and it's like, that's what this sport's about. That's the excitement, the joy, and the fun that you have, and these guys like to have. If you're not having that, it's kind of pointless to even be here. You got to enjoy it and live for it and want to see it, be successful. And if you're not happy and enjoying what you're doing, it'll never be successful. So. To be able to get a win with these guys would be incredible, but just seeing this team grow and develop is pretty exciting for me as well.
And that was Jeffrey Earnhardt here in the hot seat with Nathan, and that was an awesome interview as always, Nathan, so thank you very much on that. And if you, of course, want to follow Jeffrey on socials, he's around, to say the least, on Twitter and Instagram. As far as his Twitter account is concerned, it's jearnhardt1. And you'll see him with that sort of cool, sunshining photo that he has, or his avatar. And certainly Jeffrey is a fun character to have on TPF Live. And of course, it's the same name for him on Instagram, jearnhardt1. So give him a follow for sure, and let the folks at Alpha Prime Racing know that you love to see him race, of course. And that means you too, Shieldhouse. Now, with that being said, before we wrap up the show, I'm going to give a special shout out again to our team at Indianapolis for all their hard work in the last basically 2 weeks during the month of May. That would be Luis Torres, Stephen Conley, and Wayne Regal. So I know they've been spending a lot more time in Indianapolis in their hometown. So job well done, gentlemen, on covering our first full month of May and the first of many month of Mays for us. So going to be cool. I know we have a lot of folks on our team who want to do next year's races already. So it's pretty cool to see the enthusiasm for one of the greatest races of the season in any division. And then, of course, this weekend, we have Dylan Nadwadny and Mitchell Richtmeyer who will be at Charlotte. And Nathan had the chance to work with Mitchell at Richmond. And that was kind of an alliteration, Richmond Richtmeyer. So it's going to be cool to see Mitchell, branch out a little bit from his familiar surroundings in Enrico County and go down to Concord to see all the action. And he's really eager to get the photos getting to our Google Drive and our photos for our content. So best of luck to Dylan and Mitchell, and of course to Luis, Stephen, and Wayne. I know there's going to be a lot of work ahead for us, but a lot more work for them too, because they're actually at the racetrack. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And of course, for the F1 side of things, we'll have John Arndt, who's going to be writing a bit of content for us on that. And our newest writer, Ann Flynn, who will be contributing as well. And if you do like F1 and you want to hear more about F1 racing, Anne has a podcast called Around the Outside F1. So give that a listen. And I'm sure he'd appreciate TPF Nation showing some support for his show as well. So with that, folks, I think it's about time to wrap up our show. And of course, I would be remiss if we didn't say, because it's Memorial Day weekend, we should always do this every day, but take the time to remember those brave men and women and anybody who has served in the military in the past who gave all, and these ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And that's the reason why we can do podcasts like this show. The greatest racing fans can listen to the show. And being the son of a Navy officer, it's certainly something I don't take for granted that we have these incredible individuals who step up to the plate and, you know, defend a lot of things. So thank you so much to these veterans. And thank you to those who've given their lives to protect us. So I hope you all have a safe and wonderful Memorial Day weekend. And for that, we're going to wrap up our show. So for Camry Caruso, Jeffrey Earnhardt, and Nathan Solomon, I'm your host, Rob T. Ogson, saying thanks so much for listening to TPF Live, episode number 71. If you want to catch our prior episodes, you can check those out on Spotify, Stitcher, or Apple Podcasts. For next week, in episode number 72, we'll have Anthony Alfredo from BJ McLeod Motorsports joining us for the hot seat as we look ahead to Portland and Gateway and look back at Charlotte and Indianapolis. And as I always say, let's go get that checkered flag. And until next time, so long, everyone.